At this time, I'd like to call to order the Genoa Township Board of Trustees meeting. It's a regular meeting, rescheduled from our April 7th meeting. The time is 6:30. A full and accurate account of this meeting's audio recording can be found at genoatwp.com. Roll call.
Mr. Antonetz.
Here.
Ms. Goodman.
Here.
Ms. Vaughn.
Here. Also present, we have Fiscal Officer Pat Meyer, Deputy Chief Rush Tabali, Police Chief Steve Gammel, Deputy Director of Roads and Bridges Corey Flagg, Director of Roads and Bridges Bob Matthews, Director of Human Resources Linda Greco, Fire Chief Joe Ponzi, Director of Zoning and Development Joe Schaefer, Township Administrator Paul Wise, and Lieutenant McMillan. At this time, I ask that you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Linda, would you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, first up, we have the Fiscal Officer Report. I'll turn it over to Pat.
Thank you. Just have a couple things for you. Approval of the March 3rd, 2021 regular trustee meeting minutes as presented to you.
Okay, I'll move to approve the March 3rd, 2021 regular trustee meeting minutes. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion.
Second thing, I have the financials for your approval for March, with the meeting being pushed. We have March and April here for, or end of February, end of March, I should say. The end of March balance, $29,060,278.91. That breaks down, excuse me, with pooled investments of $21,370,180.81 and our primary account of $7,690,098.10. Both months are reconciled. Everything's clear. I'll have those for your review. Next, I would ask for approval of a then and now purchase order for $26,241 to the Bureau of Workers' Compensation for the 2021 premium true-up payment.
I'll move to approve the then and now purchase orders in the amount of $26,241 to the BWC for the 2021 premium true-up. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
The last thing I have is ask for a motion to amend the 2022 permanent appropriation for the bond fund at the police station. Personal services of $11,000 for tax collection fees for Delaware County Auditor.
To amend the 2022 permanent appropriation for the bond fund police station, personal services in the amount of $11,000 for tax collection fees from the Delaware County Auditor. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Mr. Antonetz? Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
That is all I have.
Thank you, Pat.
No problem.
Next, I'd like to welcome Sheila Hiddleston from the Delaware County Health District.
Well, good evening. It's so nice to see you all. I told Ms. Goodman it's nice to see everybody without the masks on. And Ms. Vaughn, thank you so much for coming to the District Advisory Council meeting last 2 weeks ago. Gosh, I'm hard to remember. Yeah. Sheila Hiddleston, your health commissioner. Before I get into talking a little bit about my report, I'm going to invite Jennifer Wei-Young up. Jennifer Wei-Young is our coalition team leader for Keep Delaware County Beautiful, and you all have an award coming.
Yes, I'd like to present this award to Genoa Township. Our coalition was very impressed for Genoa Township writing and receiving a grant to provide low-cost recycling carts to your residents, also your Evergreen Recycling Program, So many things that you do to promote good solid waste management in this county, or in this township for Delaware County. And I love that Genoa Township is leading the way. And again, I'd like to present this award to Genoa Township, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
I'd like to especially thank Paul Wise for bringing the grant to the trustees, and Jim Barna for the grant writing.
Thank you.
I appreciate you recognizing our efforts.
We'd also like to thank you for some other efforts recently. You all did your own hazardous waste for your residents, and I understand it was an excellent turnout, maybe a little bit more than what you were expecting. And so I appreciate, very appreciative of Jennifer and her help, and I understand Paul jumped right in there and helped with that. And then also I'm hosting a naloxone training, and then I saw in our newsletter you're doing another one too. So we really do appreciate that. Anytime that we have the opportunity to get things out into the community so people don't have to come to downtown Delaware to our Sunbury office, it's always a really good thing, and you all have a beautiful facility here. So we do really appreciate that, really appreciate the partnership. Just a couple of things there. I did bring another flyer about the naloxone, and you all know all about it, but we really are trying to promote that to our community. We're fortunate that we don't have as many overdose deaths as they do in some communities, but one is too many. And so we do have those available, and we are available to come out and do group events, as you all are aware. We only get a limited amount. We are part of a grant with the Ohio Department of Health and the Union County Health Department. So we get them as often as we can. We can request to get more if we need them. So please help us spread that word. I have something from the Pre-Hospital Care Board, and I don't know if Chief Ponzi's on that.
Yes,
you are. And so they're just asking us to promote the Be a Lifesaver. It's a sudden cardiac arrest app that's available, and so they're asking us to help with that, which is an excellent thing. And then we do have another hazardous waste day coming up in our county on June the 4th, and that'll be out at the fairgrounds. One of the things my Miss Jennifer reminds us to tell everyone is you should expect to wait. I think that people sometimes get very frustrated because they think they're going to, you know, they're on their way someplace, they're going to run in, drop things off, and then just leave. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work that way. The community health assessment, which as you're an accredited health district, we're required to do those every 5 years. And our new one is coming out May the 18th. We'll be releasing all of the data that was collected last year. We did the adult assessment and then the birth through 11-year-old assessments. Normally this year we would do the middle school and the high school. Working with Big Walnut, we're going to wait, probably be able to do that in the spring with them because they've got a lot of things going on right now. But we're very fortunate to be able to do the youth risk behavior survey in our whole county. Last time we had 13,000 students answer that, so we get really, really good data. I saw the preview of the data today. And not surprisingly, the number of persons who report that their health is good or excellent did go down a little bit from the last time that we did this. We also saw a little bit of an increase in binge drinking, which again, not probably surprising. The survey went out last fall, right as we were kind of coming to the peak of the pandemic. Not that I'm not saying COVID causes high drinking, but I think that people are very stressed, and that's one of the ways that people turn to take care of that. We are looking for more community health partners. So we have a group in Delaware County called the Partnership for Healthy Delaware County, and we've got about 50 to 75 really, really very active people on it. But we know that we could use more business people on it and more faith community, and then just our general community. We have lots of agencies, lots of other government entities, lots of other partners, but we are looking for more people. So if anyone is interested, and then the rollout of the data will be virtual on May the 18th, so anyone can join us for that. COVID-wise, we're doing really well. We did see a little bit of an increase over the last weekend, so of course we're all watching that thinking, but so far so good. In Genoa Township, U-Haul, your 7-day case count was 20 for the last 7 days. The week before that, it was 22, so you're holding very steady. Your immunization rates are excellent. 79% of your community have started the vaccine. 76% have completed the primary series, with another 49% have already gotten an additional dose. And that compares with Delaware County as a whole that started 83, completed 80, and have gotten an additional dose of 46. So excellent, excellent work. We're still encouraging everyone, talk to your physician, make those decisions based on the advice of your physician as far as whether you should get your vaccine or not. But certainly we do know that while it does not prevent COVID, it is helping to decrease hospitalizations and decrease deaths. Although we did see a little bit of a peak in, or a little spike in the numbers, our hospitalizations are staying very, very low. So that's good news. Then I'd be happy to answer any questions anyone has, or if there's anything the township's working on that we could work on with you.
I don't have anything.
I have one question, and it's related to those COVID numbers. There's been significant discussion on news programs recently about the at-home tests impacting those numbers, that they may actually be higher. Is there any way to gauge that, even by how many home tests are out there? Or?
So you're absolutely right. We know when there's a home test, it doesn't get reported. COVID is still a Class A reportable, and laboratories, hospitals, physicians have to report those immediately, but no, people that are doing them at home. Now, some of those home tests are what they call proctored, and if it's proctored, it is getting reported, but the numbers definitely could be lower because of that. I don't know anecdotally if we could do any kind of study. We do get 24/7, 365 days a year surveillance system. We have a system in place that if we have an increase in antipyretics, so an increase in Tylenol because something's going on, an increase in antiemetics, so more nausea, vomiting, anti-diarrheals, we have all of that. I don't believe they've added an increase in the number of tests being sold, but that certainly would be something good that we could ask them if there's any way that they can monitor that. I can tell you anecdotally, when I was in CVS about 4 weeks ago, the young man that waited on me said, and I had my name tag and stuff on, he said, you know, we've sold more tests today than we have in a while. I don't know that that means anything, but that was his perception of it. But we don't, as far as I know, there isn't anyone that's tracking the number of tests sold.
Thank you.
It's a great question.
Before you go, I just want to thank you for your partnering with us in offering the Narcan in our township.
We appreciate your partnership on that, too. Like I said, the more we can get that into the pockets of the people who need it, the better that mm-hmm. we are.
Perfect. Anyone else?
All right. Well, if you need anything.
You got one?
Just one note about Jennifer Way Young. Big thanks to her during the paint collection day. Mm. Quite a trooper. She stuck around the whole day. And the township collected in those 4 hours more paint than the whole county collected in their drive. Close to 24,000 pounds of paint was collected that day in 4 hours. So we were just astonished, and we had to turn people away because no more room to put it, and everyone was tired of being out there. So thank you, Jennifer.
Jennifer does a lovely job. When I first came to Delaware County and I first started making all my rounds with the townships and the villages and the cities, people didn't know who I was, but everybody knows who Jennifer Way Young is. So it's nice to see you all. Please let me know if there's anything that we can do to work on with you.
Thank you. Thank you for both for stopping by. All right. We'll go to public comment at this time. Is there anyone who would like to speak?
Good evening, everyone. Carl Gebhardt, 6796 Regency Drive. Congratulations on the award. See, Paul, I told you you were a beautiful person. The issue of the month, flock safety cameras. Connie and Mark, I want to thank you for your support of the police officers and the safety of our residents by supporting the purchase of the flock cameras. I'd like to read an excerpt from a newsletter issued by Trustee Vaughn March 6th, but apparently paid for with her political campaign committee to elect Renee Vaughn. And I'll quote, last month I asked for feedback regarding the police department's purchase of three flock safety cameras. Thank you to everyone who replied to my email and shared your thoughts and feelings. Several of you also sent links and data regarding flock safety, which I appreciated. There have been a few difficult decisions that I had to make as a trustee. This was one of them. Feedback from residents helped me make decisions on challenging issues. From the feedback I received, most of you were not in favor of purchasing the cameras. I ran a platform to represent the residents, on a platform to represent the residents. In our government, the majority rule. Therefore, I voted no on the issue. I know that some of you won't be happy with my vote. I'm sorry for that. I know that I will not always make everyone happy on every issue. I struggle with this fact. That said, I hope you will respect the fact that I reach out for feedback on topics I think might be controversial to residents. Your input does influence my vote. I also try to be as transparent as possible with residents. Despite me voting no, the other two trustees voted yes, so the cameras will be installed in the next couple months. Well, in your newsletter article, all of which dealt with township issues and possible votes, I noticed a common theme. It appears that you're positioning yourself as a victim or possible victim, and maybe even a martyr for your stance. For instance, there have been a few difficult decisions that I've had to make as a trustee. This was one of them. We have to make a lot of tough decisions. That's true. Most of you were not in favor of purchasing the cameras. Well, how many is that? How many is most? And why? What was your opposition to it? I know some of you won't be happy with my vote. I'm sorry for that. I know that I always make everyone happy on every issue. I struggle with this fact. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I agree. It's tough sometimes. That said, I hope you will respect the fact that I try to reach out for feedback on topics I think might be controversial to residents. In other words, sometimes that you need cover. Say I reached out, hey, you know, it's what the people wanted. Despite me voting no, the other two trustees voted yes, so the cameras will be installed in the next couple months. So you save face with your base. The township is better protected because it did pass, and now we have cameras. Sounds like a twofer for me. You win twice. A study suggests that victimhood must be established before political claims can be advanced. Whether being the victim because of Carl Gebhardt, Connie Goodman, the zoning resolution, the Hoover overlay, flock cameras, or even our residents. After all, it's not really your fault sometimes. Positioning yourself as a victim and the martyr, listening only to the squeaky wheel, hiding behind the populist way out, really isn't leadership. So, there seems to be a skunk in the township's woodpile. Another rural field quote. It appears you are using your political campaign email and targeted supporters to discuss issues and get feedback. Claiming the feedback is X, then using that alleged feedback for your trustee vote. Sounds about right. Why not use the township trustee email and the processes we have as a township to get that feedback? Is it because it would then become a public record? It would be more transparent, wouldn't it?
I can stop you right there. I reached out to the prosecutor's office to see what I should do, and they recommended that I use my campaign email. So that's what I use.
You must have a direct hotline to the trust or the county prosecutor's
do
office,
my
Renee. It seems like you're calling them quite a bit.
I do my homework.
Yeah. Would you think that when an elected official asks a question of constituents on a public issue, then votes on that issue, that most, if not all, of that information received should be made available to the public? That the elected official shouldn't try to game the public records law and transparency for political purposes. We once had a trustee that was fond of saying, when convenient, I'm a taxpayer. And separately, when it was convenient, I'm a trustee. He had like a legal switch that he felt he could switch off and on to meet his objectives. Seems like we have a similar situation possibly starting here. I would think most voters assume when you are elected as a trustee, you are a trustee. Doesn't mean you can't be a citizen, but you are a trustee, especially when it comes to township issues leading to trustee votes. As they say, sunshine is the best sanitizer. That's why we have the Sunshine Law, and that's why we have the Public Records Law. Well, based on my public records request, there appears to be only two residents that provided comments to Trustee Yvonne. Two, a husband and a wife, Frank and Yvonne D'Antonio, with basically identical comments and 10 minutes apart. Based on past votes and actions, he wasn't one of the strongest supporters of the Genoa Township Police Department to begin with, so his comments aren't a surprise. So do these two public comments, two out of 26,000 residents, constitute the majority referenced in your article? In our government, majority rules, or are there others? If so, where are the comments from the others, the everyone that replied to your email and shared their thoughts and feelings? Quote from your newsletter. Do you really believe you are being transparent as you claim in your article? Or maybe there were just these two comments, which brings up another interesting discussion. Why are you using your campaign newsletter to gather information on a public issue on which you will vote? To help make this more transparent issue, I'm requesting that all documents, including emails, notes, and texts, including the names and contact information of those residents making any comment by email or text to Renee Vaughn relative to the flock cameras and her vote, be made public. This information is to be provided to the Genoa Township Fiscal Office and considered a public record. And to make trustees even more transparent and the public more informed, I also request that Genoa Township trustees institute a policy requiring trustees to maintain a township phone log. The log would be designed by the fiscal office, but would consist of the date, the name of the person or phone number involved in the call, who prompted the call, and a brief description of the call, and any additional information deemed necessary by the fiscal office relative to public records. The call log would be submitted to the fiscal office at each monthly trustee meeting and held by the fiscal office as a public record. If you are truly sincere about being transparent with the public, then this will also happen. And finally, while we are on the issue of the police department, I found it interesting that both Trustee Vaughn and Trustee Antonetz voted to appoint Catherine Nelson to the Police Advisory Board. Ms. Nelson, if most of you remember, was the person during a trustee meeting that accused Chief Gamble of sweeping under the rug an internal investigation of one of the officers suspected of criminal activity while on duty. How embarrassing for the chief, the department, and the township that she made these public, baseless accusations. Thankfully, the chief and the trustees didn't cave to Nelson's accusations and demands. As a result, with the help of the County Prosecutor's Office and Sheriff's Office, a conviction of this individual was made, which could have been jeopardized by Ms. Nelson's demands. We had a trustee in the past that thought he had too many cheerleaders on the Police Advisory Committee. Well, it looks like that philosophy didn't leave when he did. We have 26,000 residents, so it's unfortunate that appointing one of their contentious political friends is the best that these two trustees can do. I look forward to next month's comments.
All right. Anyone else? I don't think there's anybody else here from the public. So, trustee comments.
I just question, is this going to be a normal process for this
township?
Because I do stuff all over the literally all over the country with zoning and councils and trustees and commissioners, and this is not helpful.
Yeah.
It's ugly.
For the record, he has already submitted a public records request regarding the flock safety, and I have dealt with the fiscal office and the prosecutor's office, and he has what we have. And also, for the record, I have been revisited with the prosecutor's office about sending emails, and what I'm doing is what I'm being advised to do by the prosecutor's office. I just want that on the record. I will go into my comments that I had planned. I just want to thank Linda again for the egg hunt. I think it was a great success. I wish the weather could have been better, but we can't control that. We mentioned the Narcan. I also wanted to compliment Paul on the paint recycling. I think it was overwhelmingly successful for the township. Yeah, and I've had many residents request that we do it again, so I know that if we can, we will, but just know. And I know there are other, Sheila had mentioned there are other collection sites, they're just not as convenient for our residents.
I learned one thing through this, that we don't have the space to line the cars up as other, like if they did it at fairgrounds. We had traffic almost backed up to this stop sign here. And that's kind of dangerous when we have public, you know, ambulances and fire trucks responding to incidents. I think that's the problem with having such a popular collection is the where do we hold it that would take that many vehicles?
Or sign, have people can sign up for a time slot. During COVID, they had to sign up for a time slot to go to the swimming pool. And then people left, people came in. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a way. You got a tablet, you're in, and they go. I mean, that might be a way to get around.
Interesting. I don't know if we could stage that many cars checking in. Yeah.
Any extra work I can find for you, apparently.
Would it work on the east end if you went in, did the turnaround, and at the very end of the second lane put the drop-off?
I think that would be less room.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is this our first year?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So maybe they all emptied their basements and there won't be any next year.
We could try to let the county handle the next collection for us since a lot of pain is gone now.
Thank you. That's all I have. Anybody else have anything?
I have no comments this evening.
Good. Okay. Moving on. Next, we have the ARPA fund update.
Basically, the prosecutor's office has provided us with a resolution that we need to enact this evening. This is basically a resolution stating that the township will be using the standard allowance process that will that is the most popular and easiest bookkeeping-wise to keep track of. So Donna has plugged in the ARPA resolution in your packet this evening, along with the total number of the funds we will receive. We attended a seminar this afternoon, a webinar concerning the reporting of the funds. And this standard method is the way we need to do this. There's no other. The Treasury Department is saying that if you receive under $10 million, this is what you need to do is file the standard form. So this is what this is and what the prosecutor is recommending. So I recommend at least for the resolution that we pass this evening and talk about the purposes after that.
Okay, very good. I'll move to adopt, to authorize expenditure from the American Rescue Plan Act Fund, and I'll just say as presented. Do I have a second?
Second.
Go ahead, discussion.
I was just going to say there is one thing in here. Paul mentioned about the dollar amount. Mm-hmm. That Donna had plugged in, and I see now that it says the project is hereby authorized and shall be paid for from the ARPA funds in the amount of / an amount not to exceed $2,954,838.25.
Yeah.
Yeah, just so that people get that dollar amount.
It's not 10. We got under 10 million.
Oh, yes.
Right.
We did not get 10 million.
Do they have a formula or?
Population based.
Really?
It's revenue population. And the other thing is, when they talk about standard allowance, the standard allowance has a presumption that there was revenue loss due to COVID. And it allows us, by having a separate fund for the money, claiming standard allowance to then spend those funds on the things listed here. And again, prosecutors have been great working with the SC opinion, so we always go to the prosecutor for opinions.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes.
Motion carries. Next, we have One Ohio.
Well, do you want to talk about the projects related to that?
I'm just following the agenda.
If you recall during your March meeting, you asked that the projects be expanded to all departments. You asked for it. You got it. The request came in over $5 million, where we have under $3 million. Actual funds. So You and I've broken down individually what department is asking for what. So if you have any questions or decisions to make, please enlighten us.
And I want to thank all of the departments for getting us your figures and taking time to decide, let's say, what you want to put on your list. So I appreciate that. I don't know. I'm open for how everybody else wants to handle this. Anybody? I mean, do we want to decide a few things tonight? Do we want to wait? I don't know that I'm ready to spend all of this right now.
I still think there's no one better that knows what their needs are with this opportunity than the leadership, and I just would suggest maybe they shorten their list a little bit, and then we reevaluate.
You have a comments?
Well, my first thought was, oh my goodness, let's just divide it five ways and call it quits. That yeah, was not the right decision.
I have
decision.
Thought about that.
Yeah, that is not the right decision. So that was an easy way up. But when I looked at this, I think that there are some things on here that I would definitely not consider as part of this. For example, I'm sorry, police and fire, but when you're talking about vehicles, we have those planned for in our levies. And so I think that those are accounted for. Yes, it would be helpful to not use levy funds, but we can do those in other ways. So I would kind of scratch off things first.
That's
and those
okay.
were my first two. I think too, Paul and I actually rode to a meeting the other day in the Colorado. And as we pulled out of the parking lot here, it stuttered and stammered. I suggest we consider getting a new truck. I am not walking to Delaware County next time I'm driving. But the bottom line is I think that that's something we could use that for. That truck is used by zoning. It's used by admin, et cetera. And that does come out of, it does not come out of a levy fund. And the other thing is I know that our residents were ecstatic over the restrooms when we said we were going to put those in. Facebook comments were great, the fact that they're going to be heated and open all year. So those are kind of the things that I'm looking at. And then the other thing is, on our way to Delaware the other day, we also went across the Plum Road area that's in the road that's in such bad shape. I don't go that way very often, but I agree, it needs help desperately. So those are just my quick thoughts mm-hmm. on this.
I agree with the park restrooms. The one thing that was on the original list, and I went back and printed it again, it's this one, is the tearing down of the old police station. That I didn't see on...
It's on the top general fund?
Yes.
Do you have this?
Yes, but I had to go back and find it because it wasn't in our packet this time.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So that is high priority for me because it's the elephant in the room. We've been talking about this for a couple years, and nobody really wants to pay for it. So, and it's going to come out of the general fund, and the general fund doesn't have funds for that. So that's high priority for me. But I agree, the restrooms are
What's the dollar
key. Well, I thought it was, isn't it $300,000
well,
here?
Which
what's on here?
Chief... Ponzi and I have been meeting with experts about it, and like you said, it's an elephant. It's a huge elephant in the room because the utilities in that building are yes. spread out. They're intertwined, and there's also abilities in that building to keep some of that building for the chief's future use, but tear down part of that building. So we're getting into areas where if we're looking at saving a little bit and not, we will probably come to the board with maybe some architectural requests on this, where we employ Dave King to say, and others to say, here's the best way to do this.
Yeah.
So excuse me, this isn't a hard figure.
Yeah,
because
I figured not.
It's up in the air.
Nobody knows. Okay.
So I'm just letting you know that.
Did you tear part of it down and put a splash pad in?
Yeah, splash pad.
And that's one of the reasons I kind of want to start whittling away at this list, because we need to dedicate these funds by 2024, which will come before we know it, especially when it's going to take time to figure this out. But we don't have to spend, or we have the ability to wait to spend them until 2026. And I don't want to wait that long, but...
No. So anyway, that's not a hard figure.
But I like allowing $300,000 for that. If we don't use it all, then we can rethink, as long as it's before 2024, is what I'm saying, right? Then you can reallocate it for something
else.
Yes,
definitely. We have, I'm hearing that some items are more popular than others on the list. Do you want the department heads to regroup next week and bring it to the May meeting, a sharpened pencil list?
I think if they're open to it, they just rank them.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay.
Number one's their top priority, and then we'll work with you to get it all to come to 2.9.
It
seems to make sense to me.
Can I just make a comment back to Connie on the vehicles? And the way I approached this was basically, potentially everything, all this equipment on here, we could buy out of levy funds. Mm-hmm. But I looked at a way to offset using levy funds to save those levy funds. So at the end of this levy, we potentially could have enough to reduce our millage again. And some of those are some big ticket. The vehicles are big ticket items. So if we buy them with the money from the federal government rather than the taxpayer dollars, potentially down the road, we could reduce the millage again. That's the way I approached it.
Point well taken. Thank you.
Great point.
Okay.
We're planning a department meeting on Tuesday, so we'll sharpen the pencils, and the next trustee meeting's right around the bend. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. So, have we voted on this yet?
No, I think we've decided we'll wait until the next meeting.
I think you voted on a resolution. Right. That passed.
Yes. Yes.
And then next up on the list, let me find us here. It's the opioid resolution. Once again, this resolution's been passed on from our county prosecutor, passed down to us, and to be part of the settlement, we need to pass this resolution once again, as they recommended.
All right, I will move to approve participation in the One Ohio Region 18 governance structure under the One Ohio Memorandum of Understanding as presented. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion.
Mr. Antoinette?
Hold on, I do. Paul, is it a new committee that's forevermore?
Pardon me?
I kind of thought we were going to get some, we did get receive opioid money, or will be.
But we haven't received any funds as of this date.
Okay, we will be, but are they going to be giving us money yearly? Why is this committee that they're forming now, it seems like it's...
I think in the event that they say there's X million due to counties, I think this committee is put forward to make those types of decisions. Looks like there is township trustee participation. Yeah. There's two trustees on the list.
Right.
Which is good.
All right. Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn.
Yes. Next, EPA grant fund transfer.
Yes. Also on your, in the script, there's a... what was left was when we closed out the grant for the EPA, the Township General Fund funded 100% of the project. The EPA granted us last year 50% upfront, and this amount left, the $30,039.60, is the final 50% that they owed us. So this is the closeout that we received from the EPA. So I asked the board to approve that resolution.
Very good. I'll move to close fund 2901 EPA grant fund and transfer $30,039.60 to the general fund. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
One note about this grant. During the grant cycle, the township sold 1,317 cans of those totes. was such popular, the board opened it up to full price sale. And as of this date, the township has sold 239
wow.
of those cans at full price. So it's a popular item.
It is. It's good.
To, with our residents.
Very good.
Do we know what the wait list was on that, if that's greater than or pretty much those people on the list?
I thought it was 150. Was it 150 people were on the wait list?
I'm not sure how many total were on the wait list.
Okay.
But if it happens to, that number comes to me sometime during this meeting, I'll pass that on.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, next we'll move on to police.
Good evening. I only have two items. The first is for the board to accept the retirement of full-time police officer Craig Jones, effective May 1st, 2022. Craig is retiring after 25 years of dedicated service to the township. About 20 years of that he's spent on third shift patrol. He's been in patrol the whole time. So he's the guy that's been out there for the last 20 years at night while people are sleeping, making sure you're safe. I can't say enough good things about him. He's just one of those guys that always comes in and does what he's expected to do. He also ran our property room for many years, which is a very complicated thing to run to make sure the evidence is received and dispersed and the old evidence is disposed of. And if you, you know, our old building, the property room was very cramped, it was overcrowded, and it smelled like weed 24/7 because of the drugs that were stored in there. And he put up with it for many years. It was a job he didn't get paid any extra to do. He just took on the challenge to do it. And we never had a problem or an issue with the property room, which makes me very happy. Another thing Craig did that was kind of noteworthy, one night he ran into a homeless individual, and he took it upon himself out of his own pocket to go buy some items for this person. And from that, he spearheaded a program to put together care bags for homeless people. We received some outside donations for it. You know, had the toothpaste and just some personal care items and some string backpacks that they put together, and the officers handed those out. Wound up on the news, they did a story on, so I thought that was very kind of him and showed the compassion he has for not only for all of our residents, but for those less fortunate. So we hate to lose him, but he's definitely earned his retirement, so I'd ask you to accept that. Also, part of that, the contract and township policy allows him to buy his service firearm for a dollar. So, with
okay,
that.
Very good. I'll move to accept the retirement of full-time police officer Craig Jones, effective May 1st, 2022. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call. Do we have a formal recognition for his service?
We did. We had an awards banquet on April 8th at the Old Bag of Nails, and he was there with his wife, and we had we give every officer that retires a shadow box with badges and patches, and there were a lot of people got up and spoke. So, yeah, we did recognize him at our awards banquet. He's kind of a very humble guy, doesn't like the recognition. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he appreciated that.
Nice.
And we also did the final radio call with dispatch. I think we put that up on our Facebook page. So kind of emotional for everybody there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say I watched that on Facebook the morning after, and that's always such a moving experience.
Yes.
So, well done.
Roll call.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Thank you. I want to thank him for his service.
Yep. The last item I have is a transfer of some unencumbered money involving police vehicles. I'm going to ask Lieutenant McMillan to come up and explain it because it's pretty complicated, and he's our budget expert.
Great. I'm going to try to play it down so it's not quite so complicated. In February, you guys approved a blanket certificate for $130,000 to purchase and equip two vehicles. I requested and you approved for that purchase to be made out of the capital outlay fund. What I didn't do was request that transfer from our levies to that capital fund. So what I'm asking for today is for you guys to make that approval so we can make that transfer into our capital outlay and start paying bills.
Okay.
Sounds pretty straightforward.
Tried to cut it down so it didn't get too complicated.
Appreciate that.
All right, I'll move the following. Whereas the Genoa Township Board of Trustees considers it to be the best interest of the township to transfer appropriations from the unencumbered money from the Township Police Fund 2191 to the Township Police Capital Outlay Fund 4901 in order to continue to accumulate resources for the acquisition,
construction, or improvement of fixed assets for the Genoa Township Police Department. Therefore, be it resolved, number one, the fiscal office is directed to maintain the police capital projects fund and to invest the account funds pursuant to ORC 5705.13. Number two, the purpose of the police capital fund continues to be as stated when established in Resolution 03-04 adopted in the regular session on February 12, 2003. Number three, the sum of $120,000 is hereby appropriated from unencumbered money in the Township Police Fund 2191 to be paid into the Police Capital Outlay Fund 4901. The trustees may from time to time continue to appropriate additional sums from the unencumbered money in the Police Fund for deposit in the Police Capital Projects Fund. Number four, the fiscal office shall certify a copy of this resolution to the Delaware County Auditor. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Welcome. Next, we have a permanent appropriation. Is that the same thing?
Yes.
Read it again.
Second part.
Okay. All right. I'll move.
You said it's okay to move it. Now we'll move it.
Yes. Okay. Got it. All right, I'll move to amend the 2022 permanent appropriation for the Police Capital Projects Funds Capital Overlay
Outlay,
thank you, from $175,000 to $295,000 for the purchase of two police cruisers approved at the February 9, 2022 regular trustee meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries.
There were nearly 500 people on the wait list.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, 500.
Did that just pop into your head?
It just came to him.
Came from above.
All right, next, maintenance with Bob and Corey.
Okay, the first item is purchase orders for the prep work on the roads that are on the county's resurfacing. It's the grinding pavement down and some asphalt.
All right.
Both blanket certificates.
Okay, I'll move to approve the following blanket certificates: $35,000 for contractor services grindings for pavement and $20,000 operating supplies. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, your salt resolution.
The salt resolution is needed for us to participate in ODOT salt contract for 2022 and 2023.
Okay. I'll move to authorize participation in the ODOT road salt contracts award in 2022 as presented. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? Roll call.
Antoinette?
Yes.
Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Next item is a resolution to hire Josh Lafferty for Buildings and Grounds.
Okay. I'll move to approve the hiring of Josh Laffey as a Buildings and Grounds Technician 1 at the hourly rate of $20.50, effective May 2nd, 2022. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Next is accept the resignation of Connor McCurry.
Okay. I'll move to accept the resignation of Maintenance Department employee Connor McCurgan, effective April 30th, 2022. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Antoinette?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
Yes. I should have asked in discussion.
Yes. Go ahead.
Bob, where does this leave you staff-wise?
With Josh, it'd be full staff.
Okay.
So you're losing one, gaining one.
Yep.
It's a wash. All righty.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Next is accept the resignation of Jim Carter from the Parks Advisory Board.
Okay, I'll move to accept the resignation of Parks Advisory Committee member Jim Carter effective March 31st, 2022. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Is Mr. Antonez?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
That's all Motion I have. Carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Next, Human Resources, Linda.
Again, everyone. The first item, I've got a couple of items, but the first two items, Paul, I believe, wanted to speak to. And yes. Were you waiting for Dave or?
No, not unless the board has questions. We asked Attorney Riepenhoff to create a CDL incentive policy simply because the laws changed this year concerning how CDLs are approved and awarded or licensed in the state. Now it requires there to be a certified facility that they're sent to that has to be approved by the state, and the cost associated with that new process, it's another unfunded mandate by the state, which we, or the feds, which we appreciate, it's close to $5,000. So now we can say to prospective candidates that come in with us, come to us that don't have CDLs, that this would be an incentive to you to work here if you stay employed for 3 years. So with that in mind, I asked the board to approve the new CDL incentive policy as presented this evening.
Okay, I'll move to approve the Genoa Township CDL incentive policy as of April 21st, 2022. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Paul, what was the cost we were paying before a specific place was named?
I think Bob can help you there.
Okay, Bob, somebody?
There was no cost associated with it. It was, we always trained them in-house to go get their CDL.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Roll call.
Mr. Antonetti?
Yes.
Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Next up is a military leave policy, which was also approved by our legal counsel. This military leave policy update was prompted by one of our young recruits on the police department is coming up and having a military leave come up under his,
Officer Joseph Washington, who we just hired a month or two ago, is a lieutenant in the Ohio Army National Guard, and he had a weekend drill coming up, and as we looked at the old policy, which was really old and out of date, he wasn't covered under the old policy, so we asked the attorney to look at it, and he drafted it more in compliance with the law. So I think it should probably be retroactive to that.
Yes, the motion, I believe, is effective April 1.
Yeah, because we were going to present it at the trustee meeting, and then it got continued. I will add that we just recently learned that Joseph is going to be deployed this summer for about a year to a combat zone in the Middle East, so parts unknown. So this will also cover him for that. I think the one, part of this is the township makes up the difference between military pay and the pay here. From what we've been able to determine, he'll make more money in the Army than he will here, so I don't believe the township's going to owe any compensation to him while he's gone. Still need to talk about the pension system contributions, but I'm sure we'll work that out.
Okay. This reads essentially 1 month a year. So if he's gone for more than that.
I think there's another part in there talks if ordered to duty by the, and I don't have the line in here.
Paid military leave beyond 1 month.
There's a section where if they're ordered to duty by the president, which this is, and by the governor, that they'll also be covered. Essentially, the other part, the up to 1 month, covers the weekend drills and the 2 week annual training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I read through it and it looked like a pretty standard policy that I've seen.
It mirrors state law.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll make a motion. I'll move to amend the military leave policy effective April 1st, 2022. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion. Roll call.
Mr. Antonetti?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Next, summer labor.
Okay, so the third item is regarding our seasonal workers that are typically seniors graduating, going into college, and a lot of them do come back. This is only seasonal, so it's usually anywhere from May through maybe August sometime. Occasionally we get them a little longer, a little earlier. But what's come to my attention, and I think everybody here, is that there's been a movement, and I think rightfully so, that lower-paying jobs have had an increase recently to better pay. So we paid $10 an hour for a long time, and that was actually good at one time. A few years ago, we changed it to $12 an hour. I think now at this point that looking at other communities, that probably somewhere more around $16 an hour starting would be more appropriate. And by starting, I mean we would probably just keep that amount like we have in the past. I had mentioned this to Leslie. I was talking to her about putting this up on the website, and we decided we needed to have a talk with the trustees first and make sure that we could maybe offer more than we have been previously. So she did. She just happened to have talked to someone that she knew, and because they had come to us and said, what are you guys paying, because we're going to have to raise our prices. And Upper Arlington is currently $15.50 to $17.39. Dublin pays $16 an hour to $19.85 an hour. And Columbus Commons is who she was actually talking to, pays $19 an hour.
I have one more. Our neighbor, okay. Orange Township, they're paying $17.50.
So I just want to mention that I had maybe three different people reach out to me looking for this summer position, and all three have declined. They've found something else. So I'm getting the feel that we just need to make it public that we're you know, equal to what others are paying in this area. So it's open for discussion. If you have something, if you want to give more, I just thought it wouldn't do us to do something less than $16 an hour. I think it should be at least that, and maybe that's good. You know, like I said, these are usually college students, and they are only here for a couple of months.
Yeah, and I know last year you were short, right, Bob? You were short.
Right.
We actually didn't even get one last year.
You didn't get one, yeah. And that's why we had weeds in the parks, is what I was told. Yeah, so I'm in favor of, we need summer help, obviously. Bob needs summer help. So if we need to raise it to get help, that's what we're going to have to do.
I think it would be fair at this point. I think most fast food places are paying at least $15 an hour. So,
plus, they're paying a sign-on bonus. Right. You know, and some of them are paying $500 or up. The highest one I saw was $1,500. Right. And you only had to walk in the door, and that was it. You could quit.
The good news for us is we're only going to use them for a couple of months. Well, they've only got a couple months before they leave for college.
And our hours are probably better. You know, you're outside and getting a tan, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you're not working nights, you're not working weekends. So that's something to say. Looking at what you just gave for figures from other areas, I don't think 16 is going to get you anything. I think you better be looking closer to 18 minimum.
In our business, we don't just pick an arbitrary number. And that sounds pretty arbitrary.
I'm not going to weigh in on that because...
I didn't. Yeah.
I'm on the side of the employee. So, you know, I feel like these are college students. They're only here for a few months.
18 puts us 50 cents over Orange, which is our neighbor.
Yeah, that's the closest more comparable one to than get up to. Arlington
so
and Dublin.
So I'm not picking that out of the air by any means.
I mean, if you want to hire someone at $18 an hour full time, $20,080 a year, it's $37,000 a year. That's not a fortune as a full time person. So, like Linda's saying, they're going to be here 2 months. What's 80? I don't know how many hours is 2 months.
And this year, Bob's asked me to try and find four seasonal workers. So, we're not talking a lot of money to the township. I think it would go a long way to. Helping us get those four bodies here, and you know, they're typically our residents or really close by, mm-hmm. with close by. So, you know, I would be in favor of that number of $18 an hour if that's what the board would like to do.
I saw Raising Cane's had a banner. It was, they were hiring at $15 an hour, so I think we could probably beat Raising Cane's.
That's our competition.
I'm not sure.
Our competition is going to be a similar job.
If you're paying someone $12 and you decide to pay $16, but you're too much, you hire four people, you're talking about a total extra payroll for that, about $6,000 for 2 months.
Yeah. I don't want to have to visit this.
The key is you get people.
Well, I don't want to also think that it's a good idea for us to keep revisiting this. Right. So I don't want to start too low, for sure.
Then I'm good with 18 as long as we'll keep it there for a little while.
I'm good with that number.
I think what happens is if we go with 16, what's going to happen next is year. Linda's going to come back to us in a month or so and
You're
say, we
right.
didn't get anybody. But if we start now at the 18, we're going to be competitive and get what's out there,
and
if there's anything to be
My
got.
Whole goal is to get Bob some help, because last year you didn't have any.
And he has Corey this year to help direct these folks so they know a weed versus a flower. My kids didn't at that age.
Yeah.
So actually, I don't think I need a resolution. I just need a consensus.
Okay.
And if the board agrees, then I'm going to put that out there at $18 an hour.
All I care is this lawn is striped, light dark stripes.
All right. Next, you have a donation.
Okay, great. Yeah, and then I just had one monetary donation. I had a lot of donations, but one was monetary from Amherst Veterinary Clinic, and it was for $100, so I'm just asking for acceptance of that.
Very good. I'll move to graciously accept a donation in the amount of $100 from the Amherst Vet Hospital for the Genoa Township Egg Hunt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Very good. Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Bond?
Yes, thank you. And I would like to thank them for their donations. Very kind.
Good evening, board. Just a couple, I don't even know if I have to talk about the second one, but first one is would respectfully request a motion to accept the resignation of part-time firefighter paramedic Dan Lundy. That would be effective March 31st, which was when Dan turned his letter in to us. Dan had previously was a full-time employee with Genoa Township Fire Department, and then was offered a job and accepted a job at Westerville Fire Department, where he moved to. He then changed his status to part-time with us. Dan was recently promoted to lieutenant at Westerville, and with the increased job responsibilities and family life, just couldn't find the time to fulfill shift obligations. So I would request that you would accept Dan's resignation, and we're thankful for all the years that Dan spent with us in full-time and part-time capacity.
Very good. I'll move to accept the resignation of part-time firefighter paramedic Daniel Lundy, effective March 31st, 2022. Do I have a second? Very good. Discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. And I want to thank him for his service.
And do you need me to speak on this supplemental appropriation?
Just if you could explain what it is.
Sure. So this is just a request for a supplemental appropriation from our contingency account, which is the first one, the 2192-930-930. 0000 into our operating budget under the 2192-223-11-0000 is our legal fund, and that is amount of a transfer from the contingency to the legal fund of $15,000.
Okay, thank you. I'll move to approve the following supplemental appropriations in the fire fund from account 2192-930-930-0000 in the amount of $15,000 to account 2192-220-311-0000 in the amount of $15,000. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Dumb question. Why are we doing this? I don't understand. you're moving a contingency. What's
no easier way to put it. Our legal expenses are higher than what we projected they would be for this year.
Good answer.
Roll call.
Mr. Antonetti?
Yes.
Goodman?
Yes.
Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. Yep. Next, we have Joe Schaefer.
Good evening, trustees. I have one item on the agenda for you this evening. Just continued discussion regarding the ongoing topic about possibly hiring legal counsel to help us out with some of the zoning issues. I did reach out to Mr. Reinhardt. He and I had a good discussion. He did give me a lot of his thoughts. That was very nice of him without sending me a bill, so I appreciated that. He did express some concern about meeting with each board member individually back to back, just not something, a practice that he was comfortable doing. I had a discussion with Trustee Vaughn about sort of how to move forward with this issue, and we quickly realized it was very awkward for her to talk to me and then me to try to talk to each one of you and try to figure this all out. So we thought it would probably just be easier and better and for everybody to just bring it back in front of the board as a whole to decide how you want to proceed with this issue, whether you want to bring Mr. Reinhardt in for a meeting. I mean, he's more than happy to attend a meeting, come in, speak to you. Or whether or not we want to appoint a point person, or even if we need to sit down and for talk about hiring them, figure out what the scope of work is going to be and what the rates are going to be. I don't have any information like that because I wasn't sure how the board wanted to proceed with this topic. So I think I'm going to throw it back to you, for discussion.
Are you able to share a little bit of your conversation with him and some things that you learned, or is...
I don't want to go into too much detail because I feel like it's maybe not proper to basically take information he gave me that I think he normally probably would charge us.
That's fine.
I don't want to feel like I'm basically taking advantage of the his kindness that he gave me and giving some of his candid thoughts on the matter.
So can you answer this? Do you think he will be able to help us resolve our issues with density, zoning?
I mean, he seems very knowledgeable in the subject area. He's very insightful. He obviously has not looked at our issues specifically, so we were mostly just talking sort of generalities and high-level sort of just zoning talk, nothing too specific. You know, but I can't sit here and vouch for him since I haven't worked with him, but, I mean, yeah, he sounds like he knows what he's talking about for sure.
I will propose this. I don't need to meet with him. I've talked to him on the phone. I will leave it up to the two of you if you would like to. Can I do that? Can they each talk to him?
I think he's going to have an issue talking to
a
majority of the board. I think if he was just meeting with just one,
yeah.
It sounded like he'd be more comfortable with that.
Yeah.
We still may sort of be in that awkward position of, well, the board member meets with them and then conveying... I guess maybe at that point, if we're paying for him to meet with the board member, maybe us sharing that information. Sometimes I just get,
yeah, I know,
especially when we're dealing with attorneys, about me trying, or any of us really trying to take that information and feed it back to you. I usually like that information come to the board directly from those individuals.
I'm concerned. We've not set the scope of what we want him or anybody else to do. We've not determined what kind of, of cost that there might be associated to this. Joe put $5,000 or $6,000 in his budget last year for legal expenses, but those are generally not for something of this nature, or for lawsuits or opinions or that kind of thing, working with our current resolution. I'm worried we wouldn't go in and buy a police car or a fire truck without determining what we want and how much it's going to cost. The other concern I have is that there's probably a number of people out there that can do this particular job, but we're not searching out for them. We're not putting out, I don't know, an RFP if that's appropriate at this point, but something similar to that to determine who's the best fit. We don't even know that this person is the best fit for what we don't even know what we want to do and how much we're willing to spend.
Good points. I will just say I have spoke with numerous trustees and other townships who are using Chris Reinhardt, and they are very happy. So that's where I'm getting my information from.
I've also shared with those trustees what I envision us doing with our comprehensive plan and zoning resolution, and they tell me that he can do it. So these are trustees I respect in other townships. That's why I feel like he's our guy. But I agree, I would like to know how much. But on the other hand, I look at, we, since I've moved in, have been talking about zoning and fixing it, and you have hundreds of people show up to zoning meetings, and everybody wants the density to be reduced. And so I feel like the residents will support spending money. I think it is money well spent to try to fix this issue once and for all that we have tried for years to fix. That's where I am with this.
Well, and I think, you know, I'm not sure we have to fix anything. What we have right now is legal and it's defensible. Yeah. And that's what we have to make sure, that whatever we have going forward is legal and defensible, and that, you know, we're careful what we do. You just said what you want to do. I'm not sure what even you want to do. You've not laid out a scope for us. So, you know, I'm kind of shooting blindly here.
Yeah, yeah. I've met with Joe last week. We kind of put out a rough draft. I have an idea, but I don't know when is the, I think we'll talk about that at the next overlay meeting, correct?
Yeah, yeah. If it's related to the overlay, that would be the appropriate time.
Yeah.
If I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it did sound like he was willing to meet with at least a board member. So, I mean, Trustee Goodman, I don't want to volunteer you, but
I would support that.
Just given your zoning background, and it sounds like you've got some questions and concerns, and I don't know, maybe since this is just sort of a get to know you, see if this is a good fit. I don't know. Maybe he won't. It's possible. Maybe he won't charge like sort of he did with me. So.
Well, I think we need to find that out. I mean, there again.
I spoke with him. He said it would meet for it. He would never charge us unless we. We're sure that he is the right person. He's not going to charge us when we're interviewing him. So he said he would do it.
I don't want to leave Trustee Antonis out of the equation, though. It's just,
Trustee
Goodman was the one who raised the question, so that's
why. I'm definitely going to meet with him.
Oh, you are?
I wouldn't make a decision without talking to this guy.
Okay. And how do we do that?
Because I don't know who he is.
The only way you're going to be able to do that is an open session.
Okay, then that's what we'll do. Can we do it?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Let me see if he can come to the May. It might be a little.
Do you
May 3rd, but
do you bring them to the overlay meeting, or do you bring them to the regular trustee meeting?
I mean, I think the overlay meeting may make sense just because it's very much at the core of the topic I think the board is looking at. That said, I know the intention with that particular meeting was not to have the overlay portion go terribly long. The board just, I think, wanted a brief update because you have another agenda item on your docket that evening as well. So. Perhaps, maybe with the overlay, but maybe the May 3rd meeting isn't the meeting to do it at.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, we'll schedule it. If you could get his availability and then maybe reach out to us.
Sure, so.
One more question on this. Oh. Normally, it's the zoning commission that works with the comprehensive plan and the zoning resolution. Are we, as trustees, cutting them out of the picture?
No. The goal was to get some legal guidance before we do anything. To meet with an attorney. We, with the overlay, decided what we wanted, and then we sent instructions to the zoning commission regarding the overlay. So I would like to do the same thing with this.
So you would like to initiate
something
to for the comprehensive plan.
I would like to talk to an attorney before we decide what we want to initiate. That's my reasoning. Let's consult with an attorney, get some ideas going, get on the right path, and then we know what we want to send to them.
So if I'm hearing correctly, you would like to have them come to one of the meetings regarding the overlay?
Whenever, because I think we've all agreed that we'd all like to speak with him.
Am I correct that May 3rd is probably not the ideal date for that?
Is May 3rd the overlay meeting?
That's the continuation.
I don't care when he comes in.
But I thought that all we were going to do for the overlay at the May 3rd meeting was to share any comments that Mr. Schaefer might have gotten and any update as far as feedback.
That was my understanding, since the board scheduled a hearing on another application right after that, and I
believe
there was intention. Yeah, it wasn't to have a full discussion, public comment, or anything like that.
That was, I mean, you can always change that, but that was just my understanding.
Yeah, I thought that's what we decided.
Yeah. I think this is more of a discussion that should be held separately.
Okay.
In my opinion.
It's fine.
May 3rd or separate of the overlay hearing?
Separate of the May 3rd meeting.
Okay.
Anything on that agenda?
So it sounds like maybe I should just let them know, hey, we are interested in bringing you in. We just don't know a date yet. I probably won't know that date until the evening of May 3rd when the board decides how they're going to proceed and schedule the next hearing date for the overlay. Does that sound accurate?
Unless you want to get his availability and reach out to us.
At this May 3rd meeting, are you going to have a scope prepared that we can review that defines what we're looking for from him?
If not, if he's not coming. Part of wanting to meet with an attorney is to help him help us figure out the scope.
So it sounds like you want to bring him in.
Yeah,
just as Trustee Vaughn said. It sounds like instead of Trustee Good meeting with him individually, it sounds like he would come in. You would talk about what your concerns are, essentially, and hear from him and see if it's you feel comfortable with him and if it's a right fit. And then I think the scope would sort of be crafted as part of that. And then we'd probably have to move forward, I imagine, with some sort of contract or agreement with him in terms of services.
Yep. Well, the other thing is, as I mentioned at a prior meeting, we do have a history working with an attorney, with Peter Griggs. Do we want to hear from him also?
I'm open to it.
I mean, I don't know if Pete would charge us. I have no idea. But clearly he wouldn't have to come up to speed on anything. Mm-hmm. He's well aware of our township, the issues that we face, the reasoning behind them. And so he has a more comprehensive background.
Also throw out, we have another attorney in the room who's also familiar with, you know, township zoning. Mr. Rubinoff. So, not speaking for him, but since he is in the room, I did want to throw his
name. Yeah, I mean, I think there are alternatives.
Yeah.
And other items we would put out for bid. So, and I mean, this is a little bit different than putting things out for a bid, but we want to be careful what we do and make sure that we get the best representation.
Yeah, I agree.
You know.
Wouldn't it be more of an RFQ, request for qualification on it?
Yeah. There you go.
This is what we want. Tell us why we're qualified as opposed to.
Yes.
And then, okay, we like these two. Let's now look at our RFQ. Yeah.
Thank you. I was coming up with the wrong term.
So, if we're going that direction, is there a board member who wants to that or work with me to prepare it, or you would just we don't really know exactly what our scope is, but I guess we're asking for an RFQ.
We know the end goal. The end goal is one of the goals of the overlay was to reduce density in at least part of the township. So I think you start with that, and how do you go about that?
Okay.
I think the other things are to preserve some of our natural resources. So, you know.
But I like the idea of the RFQ because you don't necessarily need to have a full scope of a project. You're just looking for some information to review.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if you bring them in, if you hold interviews, I guess we can work with Paul or Trustee Vaughn on sort of how we want
to. I don't know how to do it. That's where I look to you too.
I think Paul's done one or two RFQs in his life, so I think he's
okay.
Sounds good. Well, I'll work with Mr. Wise on that then. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. All right. Next, announcements. Parks Advisory Committee meeting on May 4th, 2022, and the next regular trust meeting is on May 5th, 2022.
Trustee Vaughn, just a note that the May 4th Parks meeting has been moved to McNamara Park East entrance near the barn area.
Thank you.
Just a heads up if anybody's planning to attend at meetings at 7 p.m.
Thank you. Any more business before the board? All right. Next, I'll move to adjourn to executive session at 7:48 p.m. to consider the dismissal, discipline, and compensation of a public employee and to consider the purchase of property for public use. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, very good.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Bond?
Yes. This time, we are adjourned to executive session. Okay. At this time, I'll move to return from executive session to the regular trustee meeting at 8:24 p.m. Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Mr. Antonetz?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes.
We have a couple motions I'm going to make. First, I'll move to approve a $1 educational supplement for Maxwell McCord, retroactively effective November 8th, 2021. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Antonez?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. Motion carries. And the last one, I'll move to approve a resolution regarding separation of employment as presented. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Antonez?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. At this time, I'll move to adjourn this meeting at 8:25 p.m. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Antonez?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yes. At this time, meeting is adjourned at 8:25.